Hello and welcome to the Manager Mojo podcast. Steve Caldwell here. Let's start by recognizing someone who's doing something good.
Oh, I feel good. I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good, so good. I got you. Oh.
Today I want to recognize the Coeur d'Alene Resort in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Cindy and I just recently had a chance to stay there, and if you're looking for an awesome place just to have a little downtime, a great vacation, check out the Coeur d'Alene Resort in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I promise you the absolute best service, best facilities that I've seen in a long, long time. And even better if you're a golfer. Thank you, Coeur d'Alene. Hello and welcome everyone to the Manager Mojo podcast. And today I'm really excited to get to introduce our guest, Ann Tardy. Now, I've got to tell you guys, for me to do a complete biography on all of the cool things that Ann has done would probably take up our entire time today. So I'm not going to do all of that. I'm going to put a complete biography in the show notes for you, and I'm just going to highlight a few key things that I think you should know about Ann. We have somebody that really is a solid top performer, driven lady. She has been honored as the Outstanding Businesswoman of the Year by the American Business Women's Association. She's a mentoring and leading expert, an entrepreneur. She's the author of 4 books, an avid bicyclist, and is also happens to be CEO of Life Moxie, a mentoring and leadership firm. Ann's latest book, The Joy of Mentoring, just has been recently released, and her books are very popular for companies who are committed to creating strong leaders and strong cultures. I can't even believe the cycling you've done, Ann. It's just unbelievable. She rode 4,200 miles from San Francisco to New Jersey on the Moxie ride. And she was doing that to film a documentary called Work Matters. She's also done other very long rides. And get this, if it wasn't enough to be a mentor, she's actually has a BS in accounting, a law degree from Chicago Kent Law School, a CPA license, and practices law in Illinois and California. So other than having absolutely nothing to do, our guest today is Ann Tardy. Ann, welcome to the Manager Mojo podcast.
Thank you so much. I should have you come with me and just introduce me more often to audiences.
Well, it would be my joy and treat to do so, because I'll tell you, I do get an opportunity to interview a lot of very cool people. And I'm very excited today to talk to you about all of the cool things that you're involved in. But before we dive off into that, would you mind sharing with us what kind of fun thing are you working on or doing right now?
Other than speaking to you and being a part of your fantastic podcast, I am on the East Coast, and I am loving the warm weather these days. And I work with my dog in my office, and I'm planning my next bike ride.
Oh, that's awesome. So where is this next bike ride going to take you?
Well, I've done the coast to coast, and I've done the East Coast and the West Coast, so now I'm going to ride from Crater Lake in Oregon down to Yosemite.
Oh, my goodness. It sounds so exciting. And let's kind of dive off a little bit first. I really want to talk a little bit about your passion, which I know is mentoring people and leadership. And so just to kind of set the table, would you define for our listeners what mentoring really means to you?
Well, Great. You know, that's such a great question. Not enough people ask that, and everyone makes assumptions about it. And I think that's the biggest challenge around it, is we conjure up this image of Obi-Wan Kenobi coming down to save us. And I actually think mentoring is something that managers who are really great are doing all the time, and it's really accelerating somebody else's success by contributing your advice, perspectives, and ideas to them. Mm-hmm. So, and it's based on your own experience. So by doing that, now we're able to invest in their success just using our own experiences.
Very cool. So a summary of mentoring is to, could I say that I'm passing on knowledge to my team members and to others so that I can help them achieve their goals and objectives? Is that similar, or is that close enough
that's
to what
a
you're
great,
saying?
That's a great way to say it, yes.
Okay.
That's fantastic.
Awesome. So, you know, I really have, and our listeners on the Manager Mojo podcast know that I have a real passion myself for making sure that we all move forward in our leadership and management careers. What really drew you, with such a wide background? I mean, in all my business years of experience, it's rare that I've met an attorney with your background and working at founding a firm. I know you founded a firm. You've worked with small companies, large companies. You've managed venture capital financing. You've done a lot of really cool things in your career. How did it turn to mentoring as being your passion?
That's a great question. I love business, and I, as a business attorney, I help so many hungry entrepreneurs start their companies and hire people and get that financing and either be acquired or go public. And I loved it. I loved every aspect of it. But what I saw was the difference between leaders who are really great and impactful, and those who could really take down a company culture. And so I really became passionate when I saw this vision of a business and these people who followed this leader, but the leader who didn't know how to take people along with them. And I saw the difference that good leadership, which entailed the mentoring aspect in it, really made such a difference in the success of business. And so when after I had launched my own firm and helping more entrepreneurs, I get started and loved it. I loved every aspect of law. I have to say, I really loved being a lawyer. I hear people don't like being a lawyer, don't like lawyers, but I loved it. And I thought it was really great, but I really wanted to help in the more sustainable way and help those leaders be great, help with using mentoring within a company to drive some of those priorities forward. So my only shift was from starting businesses to helping those leaders sustain them. And I just see mentoring as the tool we need for so many things we're trying to accomplish in business, from onboarding to identifying, developing those leaders, to managing their succession. There's so many things we can accomplish with mentoring. I just saw it as the tool that is missing in companies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I agree myself from a standpoint that I've worked with businesses. Business is my career. And for over 30 years, I've worked in various corporations and helped various companies similar to you. And frankly, I just don't really see much of a value from a lot of leaders today. They actually have, are you finding that a number of leaders, because they really don't understand what a mentor does, really and truly, they kind of look at it as a touchy-feely, feel-good type of thing and not something that brings money to the bottom line. Do you find that that's their first thing?
Oh, you have described my biggest uphill battle around bringing this conversation at corporations. Because, yes, they look at it like, well, that's really nice to have, and it's something HR does, and it's kind of employee benefit. That's great, but we're busy trying to make money over here. And my point going into companies is, Yeah, you mentoring is not the the problem. Mentoring is the answer to help you solve those problems you have. How to make more money, how to get those people to manage better, how do you get people to stay at companies. Really getting that culture working so that you have strong revenues, mentoring is the vehicle to do it. So I coined the term strategic mentoring so that we can stop looking at it as a HR benefit. Oh, something HR does. No, it's actually something that will help you drive those priorities forward as an organization. It can be a really valuable asset. But yes, that shift needs to happen for companies to embrace it. And well, you just described exactly the challenge.
Well, I get it totally because I hear it because people say, well, you know, that mentoring thing or that, you know, that kind of stuff that I'm, you know, maybe other people are doing, that's okay for other people, but that's really not okay for me. And it's they don't understand that you're either teaching or you're telling. And the plain simple fact is they don't understand the value of experience being shared with one another. And so can I give you a little, you know, just Steve's take on this attitude that we're talking about?
Please, I'd love it.
Because I think we're missing something here. And I think we all need analogies, right? We need things we can relate to. So when you look at a business generates cash flow, and cash flow is what ultimately drips out the bottom line, and we call it profit. And so when we're in that stream of business and we're the leaders of the business and we're making money and we're doing all those things that we call we're real busy and we're making money, here's what I want people to understand about this concept of mentoring. If you're not teaching and mentoring people, what's going on is that all those great people you say that are doing it in HR and other people are doing it, they're sitting over there and they're freaking bailing out the boat because the water is flowing out over and over the top of the boat and you're not getting to keep the money that should be yours in your company simply because your people are operating in the blind. And I think that we have to change that mentality. Everything in leadership should be concerned. Everybody should be concerned about people. And how are you going to grow people if you don't share? Just my take.
You're absolutely right. It's yes, and I think this is the big challenge that companies have is we need to change this concept around mentoring and actually come up with a different word, but so that they'll embrace this idea that we need to share that information. It's actually what it is. It's a circulation of workforce intelligence. We all have so much intelligence, but we're not sharing it. Mm-hmm. And if we could do more of that sharing, we will make less mistakes, we'll be more productive, more innovative, more customer-focused, sell more, sell better, sell faster, and that improves the bottom line. But we can't do that if what I know I keep to myself. And what I've learned, I'm not sharing. But if we do more of that, exchanging of that wisdom and that intelligence we have, now things can flow a lot faster and people can be far more effective and like their jobs and contribute more to the company.
I think that's a great point, Ann. And I think that we all absolutely need more of that. I can't help but wonder, based on your research and your experience, is it possible that the reason people don't share, that they're not stepping up to mentor and teach and lead others, is it some type of possible holdover from, well, I got to protect myself first? In other words, you know, self-preservation. Do you think that has something to do with it? Just curious.
I think there's a little bit of that. Like, I've got to protect myself, or I learned the hard way, you should as well. Mm-hmm. Or there's some fear of, if I share this with you, what will people need me for? Because I'm the one who knows all this. But I also think there's an element of, we are just so busy, people are going so fast that they don't actually stop to think about it and to do it. And so we need a little bit more intentionality around it, which is why I love any sort of program development opportunity, because it teaches people, makes them more conscious of this concept so that then they can go do it regularly in their jobs. So I think there's a kind of a combination of that self-preservation, that fear, but also that I'm so busy I sort of forgot to tell you what I just did or forgot to show you how to do this. I just did it myself because I know how to do it and we are so busy.
Yeah, this busy thing, I think is frankly just an excuse for not really planning out your time. To me, my goodness, I started off this interview by just talking about some of the things that you do. And I've got to tell you, you can't do all of the cool things that you've already done, write 4 books, found a mentoring council, cycle all over the country a couple or three times, my gosh. You can't do all of those things unless you're busy. So busy is not the excuse, nothing but an excuse, is it?
It is just an excuse. And we like to say it because it makes us feel important. I'm so busy. But there's only 168 hours in the week, and we all have the same number. And it's really a matter, in my mind, it's a matter of priorities. Mm-hmm. We make time for things that are important to us, just like mentoring. If it's important to us, we will make time to do it. You know, the bike ride, people always said, oh, you know, you're so busy, you've got so much to do, how could you do this? I took 67 days, and I said to my family, I'll be back, you'll be fine. I said to my team, you got it covered, I will be on the road, I will be available. And 67 days went by whether I rode that bike or not, and I rode that bike and nothing melted. No one died. It was all fine. And life went on. So it was important enough for me now, and I didn't want to wait 20 years till I retire. I wanted to do it now.
Well, congratulations on taking that step. And frankly, I really want to talk about this for a little bit because I think it sets an example for all of us. I think we use busyness to cover up a lot or a lack of planning all the time.
Yep.
It's easy to say, I'm busy. Well, what you really did is you didn't do any freaking planning whatsoever. And because you don't do any planning, you don't get to where you want to go, right?
That's right. And one of my favorite words is intentionality. When you're intentional about where you want to go, what you want to accomplish, you're going to be intentional about your time, select the way that you're using that time. And maybe you don't sit and watch every episode of The Voice, or you don't waste time doing some other things. You say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm choosing to do something else because it's so important to me. I always say people are too busy to get married, have kids, go on vacation, shop for holiday gifts, and yet they do it, right?
And yeah, so it comes and goes every year.
right, and they make time for it. Like, we're all too busy for this, and yet we make time for it. And so it's just a matter of those priorities, the intentionality, the planning, as you said. But I think the first place we all need to start is what's important to us, and that's where we need to go. Otherwise, time just kind of goes along, and we don't know what happens.
Well, intentionality.
And we're busy doing other people's priorities.
Absolutely. We wind up doing everybody else's instead of our own. And, you know, you mentioned intentionality, and I think it's a great concept, and it's one that's, that has been proposed an awful lot over the years, but people forget it. You know, the great Napoleon Hill talked about our intentions and that we had to have those intentions to meet our goals or else it'll never happen. And I believe that, and I know that it's true. And let's go back to mentoring and what we're really doing with teaching and helping our people. When we have a conversation with somebody, could you give us an example of how, if we really had the intention of helping, how could that begin to transform that person and their ability to perform their job, their life, their work? Let's talk about some of the outcomes that you're going to get from really having this intentionality of caring about other people.
Okay, well, there's an outcome on both sides. So if I'm the manager, my outcome is going to be people on my team are going to have a different perspective than they might have going into a project or solving a problem. They might explore different ideas and approaches to doing that instead of doing the same thing the way that they're always doing it. Mm-hmm. So the outcome for me as a manager is what I like to call, you're kind of turning the kaleidoscope for them. You're saying, you know what, I know you're looking this way, but let me turn it a little bit, and now you're going to see something else. Mm-hmm. And I think that really, from a manager standpoint, that really helps people think differently, solve problems differently, and they're benefiting from the manager's experience, saying, oh, okay, you know, he or she made a decision this way, or this is something to think about, or here's an idea. And so I think that really helps. And then the outcome from the employee standpoint, or anybody who's using mentoring, is, again, just another way to solve a problem, another way to think about things. So we're not running fast and furious, making the same mistakes that someone else already made. Mm-hmm. And we can say, oh, okay, that's not going to work. And let me explore this a little more and dig deeper. So I think just a wider view of our goals, our challenges, the problems we have in front of us, you just get a different view, a different perspective, and less errors, I really think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I can see that happening. And, you know, I because we have a lot of leaders that listen to this show and that have access to this, I want to point out one other thing that came to my mind when you were talking about giving people an opportunity to see a different perspective on a problem and a project. You know, the other part is that you could be connecting with your people on a real personal and really a much deeper level than what other managers do. And
yeah, absolutely.
And when that happens, guess what? You become you become a trusted source. You become an ally, and you don't you aren't that manager that everybody likes to say, well, my manager is just a pain in the butt. He never gives a crap about what I do or how I do it, never helps me do my job. All he does is criticize what I do. You know, you can't criticize somebody and say that about them if they're doing this type of thing, can you?
Right. No. When a manager takes even just a few minutes to ask some additional questions or share some advice, help someone see a different perspective. When they take a few minutes, they're investing not only in the success of whatever that project or problem is, but in the success of someone on their team. That really does fuel so much more than just solving that problem. Now that person knows, my manager actually cares about me and my success, not just his or her success. Mm-hmm. And I think that's huge. And really does, as you said, build that trust and that engagement we have in our manager, mm-hmm. and that will really make the shift for people around their managers. Just a little bit of conversation and investment in this is can go a long way. You don't need a big formal mentoring program to do this. You need to ask some what I like to call yardstick questions. We ask 1-inch questions. We need to go deeper and help people see things differently.
Well, I like that that description. Could give us an example or two of that? The yardstick, and then let's go an inch or two deeper. I like that.
Okay, so 1-inch question. Hi, how are you? Great. Did you get the project done? No. When is it going to get done? Tomorrow. Okay, thanks. Well, those are 1-inch questions, right? I just get what I need and then moving on. But yardstick questions are interesting. So why? What happened? What was the experience like? What did you learn? What would you do differently next time? How are you going to apply that elsewhere? Who else could be supporting us on this? We're going deeper to find out what might be standing in the way, or we're learning from our manager. We're learning from our people. So we're asking the next questions. And we, if we did this more even with our families, we could transform those relationships, right? But instead, yeah. I went to school, and our answer is, fine. What happened today? Nothing, right? But if we say, oh, so what was one of the funniest things that happened at school today? What's any insight? What would you do differently if you were the teacher? Right? Those are yardstick questions. You're getting people to think and share. And you know, I do this with my my stepkids when we'll say, oh, how was the movie? Oh, it was good. Or it was funny. Okay, well, what made it good? What made it funny? Why'd you like that versus the movie we saw last week?
Mm-hmm.
And then they start sharing with me, and now I learn so much about my stepkids that I didn't know and wouldn't know if I stopped at the movie was good.
Yeah, that is so powerful. And, you know, it when you said that, oh, my God, it just took me back to my daughters are grown now. I've got three grandchildren. But my oldest daughter, when she first became a teenager, that's exactly what she did. We had a great relationship until she became a teenager. And for a short period of time, she'd come home and I'd ask her a question. She'd give me a one-word answer. Well, just exactly like you described. And I got to tell you that I'm not the kind of guy that takes a one-word answer. So I kept on asking questions until she opened up. And I am confident that it really helped us build a great, great relationship through our teen years. So I thought then that, you know what, if I can do that with my teenage daughter, why am I not doing that with my employees?
Absolutely.
I absolutely did.
It's a great place to practice.
I couldn't believe that I had that feeling. And yet, when I suggest this, I get leaders that get it and that they'll do it, but I still get people that believe they've risen to a high enough level that it's no longer essential. Now, how do you talk to those people? What would you tell them? What would you say today to those people that believe, okay, I've already been through that. I'm CEO now. I don't have to have those kind of conversations. What would be the top two or three things you would say to those people today?
Well, first, I'd ask them if they were done learning, because if you stop asking questions and Ooh. All you're doing is talking, pontificating, espousing yourself, you must be done learning.
I love that.
And that's a shame, right? I'm sorry to hear that. And then the second thing I do is I would really point to some of the greats, the CEO greats, that all they did was ask questions. I mean, Sam Walton, he's infamous for walking the store floor, and one story in particular, he would go to the fishing department, and he would ask questions. What's it like? What are you seeing over here? And one guy in one associate said, "You know, I'm finding a lot of people are getting cut from the fishing, the fishing rods and the what are those called? The lure, thank you." And he said, you know, sir, I think we should probably offer some Band-Aids in the fishing department because they're hurting themselves. Sam said, what a great idea. Moved some Band-Aids over to the fishing department. Band-Aid sales went up. Like, it really is a matter of telling these CEOs who don't think that it's necessary to point to some of the role models that's how they run their business and are very successful, by asking questions and talking deeper than, hi, how are you?
Okay, great. Okay, so I love the first question, are you done learning? The second, let's point to some really great role models that ask questions, mm-hmm. like Walton, and I know a lot of others, but...
Andy Grove, and I mean, he was constant. Andy Grove loved mentoring. He actually did call it mentoring. He called it technical assistance, and mm-hmm. he would have people constantly assigned to him to teach him things. He would ask them questions about technology and culture and just about what it's like to be in the roles they were in. And he was constantly assigning people to do reverse mentoring with him, although, like I said, he didn't call it mentoring.
Sure.
But that was a huge tool for him.
Well, mentoring is just a word. You know, it's not the... It's the practice, it's the process of doing it and actually interacting with people where the result comes, doesn't it?
Well, absolutely. Yeah, but we're not doing that.
No.
But we're not doing that because, as you said, you get to a certain level and you think you know it all. But I think the other question is, what's the impact of not asking these questions? And
okay.
Can you afford it?
Oh, I like that. The impact and can you afford it? The third thing. I love that. They're in a competitive world, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. And are you happy with how things are now? Or are you wanting to improve any aspect of your business or your people?
That's absolutely awesome. And I think that challenges any of us. I mean, I can't imagine any leader that wouldn't want to say, yes, I'm committed to continuing to learn. And yes, I need to ask better questions because it'll help us execute on our business plan. And thirdly, you know what? I can't afford to lose great people, and yet they're losing them everywhere.
Yep.
What a great advantage.
It's not just the losing the people. It's now that person walking with all that institutional knowledge that you have to now wait till the next person comes on board, learns how to work with people, learns how the company works, and gets into the role and up to acclimated. And how much time are you spending waiting for that to happen?
Yeah.
There's a lot that happens when someone leaves. It's not, oh, I didn't really need them.
Yeah.
How much time is spent?
Oh, my gosh. And we have to just really think about that just a little bit, because what happened when that person walked out the door that really had all of that knowledge about our business and about it? They had experiences, they had mistakes, they had successes, and guess what? They didn't leave us a computer record of it, did they?
Right. No, and because we didn't encourage any of this sharing of information, they aren't sharing it, and so they're leaving without even telling somebody else what they've learned.
Oh, my goodness.
Now we're back to the whole concept of why are we not encouraging this circulation of intelligence, call it what you will, whether mentoring, whatever, but why are we not encouraging that? Because these people are leaving without saying, hey, you know, that customer over there, they like it this way. They like it with the red bow, and, you know, no one else knows that. I know that, but nobody else does. Now I leave. And now you're going back and you're going to give them a green bow, and the customer is irritated that they have to now train somebody else on how they like their packages delivered.
I agree totally, Ann. And I think we just gave you another really big tool to ask CEOs. I know your background is in accounting. And so maybe the question, if you think back when we were, when you're in college, you're learning economics, you're learning accounting. One of the things we talk about is an opportunity cost. And guess what happens when those people you've trained, invested in, had successes, had mistakes, when they leave? Let's start putting a dollar value on that. I'll bet you we'll get a few more attention of a few more CEOs. What do you think?
Exactly. I definitely agree. Because, you know, the bottom line is really, I know it's so important, but I think that the problem is we're not looking at all the things that feed that bottom line that impact that bottom line. So we just think, oh, it's just a sale. It's not a sale. It's a person selling something to make that sale. And how are we treating that person to get that sale?
Awesome.
And that's really, we're not making those connections.
I get it totally. So, Ann, we're coming to the end here, but I want you to, I know that there are managers that are going to be listening to this episode that they really don't have the support of their upper leadership team. And, but what would be the top two or three things that you would advise them to do? Because I know that you don't believe they should wait for everybody to get on board. So what would you tell them that they could start doing to impact their career and their life today?
Great. Well, two things. One, I love managers because I think they are so powerful, right? I think they actually hold more power than the CEOs, but that's another conversation. So I think they're very powerful, and I think that in this role that they're in, they can do two things. One, they can start asking questions of people, their colleagues, and people above them and below them to better themselves, right? So they could be better at managing and leading where they're at by asking other people to share their intelligence. What did you learn? What are you doing over with your team? How is that working? Any ideas you can share with me? And then, so that's one. And then two, mentoring others by people on their team, getting asking them, where would you like to go? What's working? What's not? How can I support you? Really just looking at yourself as I can mentor others to help them be more successful, invest in them, and I can be mentored by others by asking better questions and seeking out other people's advice, perspectives, and ideas. That's it. If we can just boil it down to really what you're looking for is advice, perspectives, and ideas, now we can start circulating more of this and for your benefit as a manager and for your team.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Now, I know that we're going to have people that want to connect with you, and I'll certainly put your websites on in the show notes. But how would you prefer that people connect with you, Ann? Because I know that you're a speaker and that you do a lot of cool things, and I want to make it really easy for them to get in touch with you.
Well, thank you so much. So anybody can get in touch with me, Ann, at lifemoxie.com. It's LIFEMOXIE.com. That's my direct email is up. I would love to hear from anybody. Like to mentor and be mentored by you out there and exchange ideas. It would be great. My speaker website and my bike rides and everything else is on AnnTardy.com.
AnnTardy.com. I will make sure we put both of those websites here for you guys to make it really easy so you can just one click over to them. What a joy it's been to talk with you today and to hear the passion in your voice for people and for mentoring. Thank you for your great work, and we just wish you all of the most success that you can possibly have here from Manager Mojo.
Well, thank you for the invitation. This has been great fun. I enjoy dancing on the airwaves with you. So thank you for the invitation.
It's been our pleasure. Thank you so much. Thanks for being a part of the Manager Mojo audience. I really appreciate it, and I'd love to hear from you. Please let me know your suggestions by emailing me at steve@managermojo.com.